always have a hard time doing just one. I mean, really love what you do. Don't be concerned about how well it looks. Don't be concerned if someone has more views or more subscribers than you. Do what you want to do. And know that you are enough, that your subject, that your voice is enough, that people want to hear you speak. They really do. Especially if it's on a subject and a niche that not many people talk about. There's always someone looking for that niche. That would be my biggest thing. Just make the content, make it sound good, and be passionate about what you're doing and really wanting to give that to whoever your audience is.
Well, hello, John.
Hey, hey.
How are you?
Doing great today. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm doing super well. Thank you, man, for allowing me to interview you today, spend some time with me for a little bit, and talk to you a little bit about your YouTube channel.
Oh, yeah, no problem.
John Branch is based in Raleigh, North Carolina. He is a wedding photographer and also a YouTube guru. John, tell me a little bit about what you do on YouTube, and also tell me a little bit about your wedding photography side.
Yeah. So to start the background of the wedding photography, I've been doing that for about 6 years now. I started in New York City and did that for about 4 years while also having a day job. So I had part-time wedding photography, full-time job. And recently, about two, almost 3 years ago, quit my day job and now do wedding photography full-time. Also in that time where I quit and moved is where I really started to focus on YouTube. I was very lucky that actually this year I was trying to focus more on YouTube. So because of that, I didn't book as many weddings. So last year, 2019, yeah, I did 40 weddings, which was a little bit too much for me. Wow. I was like, never again. And then me and my wife, because she's not a part of the business, but obviously she like kind of helps me keep my mind straight. But
yeah,
I was like, I want to focus on YouTube. And yet again, she was like, yeah, you're doing fairly well on YouTube. So we'll move the, like, we literally painted the room and everything.
Yeah.
And so I was like, I'm not taking as many weddings. I think I booked maybe 22 weddings.
Yeah.
And then all this happened and it really worked out, because one off, I have YouTube money happening now. So that's kind of keeping us afloat. It's not as much as weddings,
right?
But it's something that's still happening.
Yeah.
And then because I didn't book as many weddings, I had all these dates open. So when people like were rescheduling, I'm like, no problem, because I have dates.
Right.
I like only booked like 20 weddings.
Did you just like increase your price or something? And or did you just intentionally tell people, no, I'm not working that weekend?
No, I just kind of sat back and just let it happen. And that's I could be a lot better at like a lot of the hustle and flow stuff. I haven't been that great about it like at all.
Right.
And I think half of that is I'm not booking, and it might even be that that's just not my lane. And sometimes you can almost, the universe talks to you where it's like, you know, I'm trying so hard to book. And I just wasn't booking.
Right. Like you didn't do anything like, I'm going to double my price.
Yeah, no. I was just like, and it's funny. I really do think like when you send it out, it happens. So we were like at the end of 2019, it was like, I'm just not going to take as many weddings. And I just didn't get bookings.
You didn't get any inquiries?
It was way lower. But the people I got in the door and booked were like,
love you.
Like in the, yeah. And it was like, yeah. And we were booked and it was, yeah. So yeah, I was just, we both were just kind of like, and this, you know, this was throughout 2019.
Yeah.
You know, at first I was kind of freaking out, because I was like, if I don't start booking weddings, and I don't think YouTube can really hold us down like that. My wife's like, it's going to be fine. It's whatever. And I'm like, okay, it'll be fine. And then, yeah. And then,
yeah,
the world stopped and it was like, oh, and everyone was like, I need to reschedule. And I was like, I have mad dates. I actually have a background in YouTube. I had a channel back in 2007 where I did music production and sound design. And I did that for a little bit, but I wasn't really focusing on YouTube. I wasn't like trying to do YouTube. It was more just like fun, making videos, whatever. So I kind of revisited that love recently and now do YouTube videos on photography and technology surrounding photography.
That's so awesome, man. So you're kind of like a well-rounded guy, because I think you used to work for Squarespace as well, right?
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about that, because a lot of this just really kind of comes together, right? I mean, all your skill sets.
Yeah, I can even, 10 years of my whole background really all just came together. I majored in music production and sound design, which is yet again why I had an audio channel on YouTube at first. I used to work at Apple, so that customer service really helps with wedding photography. I also used to work at Squarespace, where I was a team lead in customer service. So I was helping people with their websites, but also leading a team of the people who help with the websites as well. And that was, each of all that was about 5 years. So 5 years Apple, 5 years at Squarespace, 3 years doing post audio production on commercials and TV shows. So a lot of tech background.
So my first question is, first, tell us a little bit about how you got started with your channel. There's a lot of people out there that are sitting at home during this pandemic, you know, and that want to be productive and start a YouTube channel. Tell us a little bit about how you got started. I know you kind of touched on it earlier, but what was really that one defining moment that, you know what, this is what I'm going to talk about. This is the direction I'm going to lead in.
Yeah, that's always a great question. So with the photography stuff, I actually had kind of a dream. So I was at Squarespace at the time, and my dream was helping businesses create videos for their knowledge bases, you know, where you can go online and read about how to do stuff on their website. So Squarespace already had something like that. And I actually was on their video team helping with that. And at the time I got into HoneyBook and I really loved their service. And I noticed on their knowledge base that they had no videos at all for their knowledge base. So my first goal was like, I'm either going to make videos and work for HoneyBook, I'm going to make videos and make them see it and then maybe hire me as like a consultant or something on making videos. So that was literally my first goal. So I started doing that on YouTube, and it led to kind of a bigger vision for me to see that I really like teaching and I want to help other photographers kind of get to the place where I've gone over my 6 years. Because I also had a really awesome mentor who kind of helped me get to where I am. So I just wanted to share that. So from starting out with like, let me make videos for a company, to now let me share my knowledge of what I've learned so far, because photography can be daunting at first, and take that and then sprinkle in my love for tech. And that's kind of where I ended up with my videos and how I started there.
That's awesome, man. Tell us a little bit about what type of content do you produce right now? I know, but not a lot of people know about you. You have 26,000 subscribers. Tell us about what type of content that some of the people that are listening right now don't know about you.
Yeah, so I would say my content is, if you want to be general, it's photography, but it's more niched down into photography, photography tech, and creative entrepreneurship. So I do focus a lot more on things that will help your business rather than just photos. Like a lot of photographers on YouTube, you'll see talk about cameras, talk about lenses, talk about gear mainly, and talk about photos. Whereas I'll talk about using a service like PicTime to be able to deliver photos, or using a service like HoneyBook to do contracts and make money. You add that on top of some photography subjects, and that's really where I am. So it's kind of tech photography, creative entrepreneurship.
Got it. So your audience are mainly photographers starting out, professionals, amateurs, wannabe professionals, wannabe full-time soon?
Correct. Yeah. And there's a little bit of a, almost like a line between my audience. So you have starting photographers, people who are trying to get into the business, people who want to learn more about more of the business side stuff. They already know how to take photos for the most part. And then you also have my tech side, which is where I focus a lot on things like using an iPad to edit your photos, which is something that's not talked a lot about. So the tech side has a lot of photographers who are just interested in doing things a little different, but doing it efficiently still.
Got it. So for the people out there that are starting out, how do you have that discipline of, this is what I'm going to do? Like, what advice could you give them about a topic? How do you come up with a topic that you're going to talk about for? Because you want to be consistent. So how do you come up with that?
Exactly. I would say, so for topics, and there's a couple of tips I can give, but the first big one is obviously find something that you're very passionate about and something you love. So taking myself as an example, seeing that I had a background in 5 years at Apple, so obviously I really love computers. 5 years at Squarespace, obviously I really love helping people and I love websites. I like great aesthetic, especially between Squarespace and Apple. That kind of lined up with something I was very passionate about, which is just good photos and making sure your tech works well. So find something that you're passionate about, and it can literally be anything. It doesn't have to be something specific. It doesn't have to be something that you think is popular. It just needs to be something that you know that I love talking about this. I will research all about it. I will do everything I want to really figure out about this one subject because I love it that much. Now take that subject that you're super passionate about and niche down into it. Find the specific point that you like to talk about that's really your own voice. So yet again, I could have easily said, oh, there's a lot of people who do photography YouTube channel stuff. There's a lot of people. And you have other people like Peter McKinnon with like millions of subscribers. I could easily just be like, oh, well, there's no point in doing it. There's huge names doing photo stuff. But for me, I niched down into the creative entrepreneur side of photography and the technology side of photography. So while I might talk about cameras and gear, my main focus, if I talk about that stuff, is how you can use it rather than just being like, it's a F2.8 and it does this. Like that's great, but how does that apply to your business? How does that apply to you taking photos?
What about somebody's like, hey, I have so many passions. I love doing all kinds of things. I love video games. I love cooking. What do you tell them?
That's something I have an issue with myself because there's a lot of things I love. I would say probably find something that you can devote your time to. So I know, and this may be easier for a lot of people. I have 3 kids. I'm the main income provider for the household. So obviously most of anything I do, I have to be making money. So a great example, like I absolutely love video games. You can see behind me, I have my like old school GameCube. And so I love video games. It's probably like my number one hobby. I have to play a game at least 30 minutes to an hour, like every day. Now I could totally make a gaming channel. I could, but for me in my position, having to spend all the time to play the games to be able to get the content would be a detriment to my daily income and just all my responsibilities. So depending on where you are in life, just pick something that works along with your own time. YouTube should not take away from you. It should be a fun, creative outlet that makes you feel fulfilled. So if I did video games, it'd be great, but I would waste a lot of time and I probably wouldn't make a lot of money. And then my family would be out with nothing. Right. Whereas photography works because I also book clients. So I'm still making money in my normal sense. And then I can double it up with content about what I'm already doing, if that makes sense. So that's what I would say. And honestly, if someone has the time and doesn't have responsibilities of things like kids, make multiple channels. You do want to separate your stuff. You don't want to have like a gaming channel and like cooking and have it just be one channel. That's a little too much because your cooking people may not be into games or your gaming people may not be into cooking, but make 2 channels. You know, obviously don't burn yourself out. Don't make it become such a burden on yourself because making the video should be fun. But if you have multiple passions, I'm totally, totally for making multiple channels.
Gotcha. So you touched on money, making money and stream of revenue. Let's talk about that a little bit. I want to talk about gear and things like that. How do you make money?
So there's a couple of ways of making money on YouTube. You all may be familiar with the YouTube Partner Program, which is where you can put ads on your videos. Basically for that, you have to have 1,000 subscribers and 4,000 watch hours at least in like a year time period. Once you've passed that threshold, then you're able to put ads on your videos and you can start making ad revenue. So this is kind of like the first step and level of making money on YouTube. Once you've passed that threshold, the next thing that comes up is stuff like sponsorships and deals with companies. That will come after you start getting a little bit larger, you have more viewers, And companies are either going to start trying to give you product or have you talk about products. And for that, they'll actually pay you an amount, let's say like $100, just to mention about it on your video. So then sponsorships is kind of the next way to make money. And then the third way is, yet again, if you're a larger YouTuber and people know you, you can have your own products, your own merch, and thing of that sort, and sell stuff that way. So that's basically kind of like the whole realm of YouTube money.
So there's like phase one, phase two, phase three. Let's talk about phase one, because I think a lot of people, well, hopefully there'll be more out there that's on the phase two and maybe phase three that's going to be listening and watching this. But let's talk about phase one real quick and simplify it. So 1,000 subscribers and then 4,000 cumulative hours in 1 year. That 1,000 subscribers, what if that doesn't happen in 1 year? What if you that happens in 3 years? That's okay, as long as you have 4,000 hours in 1 year.
Exactly. The 4,000 hours is probably the bigger of the two. The 1,000 subscribers, it can take time, but the 4,000 watch hours is really the one that I found was probably kind of the hardest to achieve.
Because that's 1 year from January to December, and then it resets again. If you don't get 4,000 hours in 2019, then it resets in January 1st, right?
Exactly. And I think it's a rolling year. So, you know, if you hit it mid-year, you can hit it mid-year. So it doesn't like fully reset it, like from whenever they first measure it and 12 months from then.
Got it. Got it. So what is the key there is obviously to get that much of hours and subscribers. The key there is to provide content, obviously, right? That people are going to watch.
And exactly. The biggest thing too is providing quality over quantity. Because you may think, oh, well, I'll just have a lot of videos and people will watch them. But it really needs to be videos that keep people kind of captivated inside of your channel and watching your videos for longer. One of the analytics that you can check on your channel is watch time, which is how long someone stayed on your video. And if you have videos that are hitting a 50% like retention rate, then you're going to have YouTube start pushing your video out more so that more people will see it, which will probably lead to more views. So it's actually 4,000 watch hours seems daunting, but it also can come very easily if you have a video that does well and then that hits the YouTube algorithm.
Wow. So YouTube will eventually help out in a way as far as their algorithm, as long as your content is really good.
Exactly.
And whenever I look at your videos, you have a lot of engagement as far as comments also. So that kind of gives you an idea also that people are enjoying your content. And
exactly.
Let's talk a little bit about content. What content is it? It looks like everything that you do, it's something that's so consistent. It's your content's about helping a certain type of people looking for certain information. Is that right? Like you have to produce something of value?
Exactly. Yeah. I'm trying to come at all of my videos from a teaching perspective, and everyone can have a different perspective on how they want to achieve their videos. Like, you have people who make memes and funny videos. So obviously what they want to achieve is that you're going to find it funny. And I know videos like that, they may not be long, but you're probably going to go back often and rewatch it because it's just funny. You're going to show your friends, you're going to watch it again. And so, yeah, my videos are really focused on making sure that as a photographer or a creative entrepreneur that you learn something from watching my video.
Is that something that you see out there on the YouTube culture as far as, is it just, are people that are, tend to watch videos that are more of an educational or entertainment?
Yeah, I think probably the bigger videos, at least in my opinion, and I spend a lot of time on YouTube as a watcher as well. From what I've seen, education is huge. Humor and stuff is pretty huge as well. And then the third one would probably be news. News is huge. And we're not even talking about just like normal news outlets, even news on products or like, you know, if Fujifilm has a new camera, I know I can go on there and go to certain people who are going to keep up with the Fujifilm news and stuff like that. So yeah, teaching, education, and humor and news. Yeah, I think those are probably the biggest.
Yeah. So like I heard somebody talk about edutainment, like education or entertainment.
Yeah, I like that actually.
Edutainment. I don't know where I got that from. I got it from somewhere. All right, let's talk about a little bit about gear. So some people that are not photographers, they want to make a cooking show, or like they want to create a YouTube channel and they are not familiar with cameras and audio. Tell us a little bit about the bare bone basics of what do you need? Obviously, you need a camera.
Yeah, definitely. So my mentality on this, especially with where cameras are nowadays, is first off, most people have iPhones and they actually do look really well. So that's an easy place to start for anyone who wants to start and they maybe feel overwhelmed by a camera. As far as anyone who may be a photographer, you might have a camera already, so you can use that. Now, if anyone's new and they're looking for like a suggestion for a camera, I'm actually a huge fan of mirrorless cameras. So either Sony or Fujifilm, mainly because they look amazing. The colors that come out of them look amazing. And the learning curve is fairly low. So some of the smaller, cheaper mirrorless cameras are great. Like the Sony, I think it's A6600. Or I know on my channel, I suggested the Fujifilm X-T30 or the X-T20. It's just very small. It has interchangeable lenses. You can point it at yourself. What you're seeing here is actually one of my Fuji cameras. So the way the colors look is coming straight off the camera. And it just, it looks really amazing.
It looks amazing. I wanted to compliment you because your lighting is way better. I have one little LED light right here on my screen.
Yeah.
Your light is awesome. I mean, you have probably a light that's bouncing in the ceiling and have a key light on your face. It's looks really good. So with that, does it matter? I mean, does quality matter? Does audio quality matter? I mean, how do people tend to watch your video because you look great and your lighting looks great? Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that's actually, so one thing that I've found that hangs up a lot of people from making YouTube videos, especially anyone who may be a photographer already, is they're so concerned about the quality of the video and how it looks. Where actually what really gets people is the quality of the audio. You can watch a video and have it look, you know, like whatever, and okay, it's not 4K and the lighting's not great, but if it sounds bad, you'll probably click away. You also have to remember too, in this day and age, a lot of people are just watching YouTube while they're doing something else, like they're cooking or they're editing photos or they're hanging out with the kids and they're not actually looking at it, they're just listening. So audio, in my opinion, is first and foremost, most important.
Huge.
And you can easily get good audio with things like, I even have my little Rode wireless mic, and you can hook this stuff up to your phone too.
These
things, yeah, all this stuff can hook up to your phones. So you can get great audio, or you can even use the little headphone here. I saw a YouTuber the other day. I was searching around for film camera stuff, and that's what he did. He had his camera, which was probably his phone, and he had his headphones just like this. So he was using this mic and it sounded great. It looked fine.
Awesome. Is it too late for people to start a channel now? Like for somebody that's 40 years old, 50 years old, or even 30 years old, or even the 20-year-old? Is it, I mean, it seems like there's so much video, so much content on YouTube. Mm-hmm. Is it too late to start on something?
No, I don't think so. I think it's never late. Yet again, you just really have to focus first on finding your passion, your subject, and your niche within that passion and subject, which will separate you from the lane of everybody else. Because yet again, the way I view it, so first off, YouTube is the largest video consumption platform. It's higher than Netflix. It's higher than Facebook. It is the number one. Now, on top of YouTube being the place where people are watching those videos, YouTube is owned by Google. Google is the number one search engine, which makes YouTube the second search engine. So especially if you're doing things like product reviews or just showing more about how to use something, you automatically have Google on your side as well, because all the SEO in YouTube goes to Google as well. So when you search on Google for how do I make a good coffee, a lot of times they pull videos up that will show you about coffee, as well as links to websites and blog posts. So I don't ever think it's too late. You literally have billions of people watching.
Yeah, that's amazing you said that. I pulled up a statistic here on my right screen, and it says YouTube has 2 billion users worldwide. 79% of internet users have their own YouTube account. You can navigate YouTube in a total of 80 different languages, which covers 95% of the internet population. 2 billion users worldwide. That's
it's huge. YouTube is huge.
Huge. I mean, it's like you have so much opportunities here to just really get in front of a lot of eyeballs all over the world.
Exactly.
Do you think it's limited? Like, do people in, say, Asia see your channel, your videos?
That's interesting. So I look at my analytics fairly often, not too much. I don't want to overwhelm myself. And I don't see a lot of people around the world as much. A lot of it's really contained in the U.S. I think the top two other countries are the United Kingdom, Australia, and Germany.
Okay.
Those are the ones that are watching my videos the most. So it definitely does get around the world. But I think at that point, it starts becoming more subject matter and what you're talking about and what they're interested in as well.
So tell me, let's go back a little bit on gear. I forgot to ask you about lighting. What mm-hmm. kind of, do you, on your channel, do you have a link to all your gear? And then what kind of lighting, like specifically what you have set up right now on your studio?
So I do have a link to the majority of my gear, and I'm going to make a video soon about my whole setup and how I use it. So my earlier videos, I was actually mainly using natural light. And as a natural light photographer, I actually like the natural light look a little bit better. So the way I had that set up is I had three large windows beside me, kind of like the windows to my left here. And I would sit in front of it and light myself that way and then adjust my camera. So no lights at all. That's how I started. Recently, I moved into this new room, which is actually the master bedroom in my place. So props to my wife because she was down with that. And turning
Wait, it this is your master's studio. Bedroom?
Yeah, this is the master bedroom. We did that this year. She was like, I believe in your YouTube. Let's change. You need more space. So we'll change the master bedroom into.
Wow. A YouTube That's a nice studio. Wife there.
Yeah, she gets all the props. So now that I'm in here, the lighting's a little different just because of where the sun moves and all that kind of stuff. So now I usually shoot in this kind of angle somewhere. So there's a small window in front of me to my right that really doesn't light me too well because the sun rises over the house. So I never really get too much light in here. So now I have two small LED lights kind of to my left and my right, pointing up at the ceiling, so I'm bouncing it. And then I have one larger LED light with a softbox on it, and that's kind of point. So that's kind of my key light. But I'm still actually exposing for the natural light. So the natural light is still filling the room, and you may not have seen it in the video, but I always get these horrible cloudy days where, like the one cloud passes the sun.
Right.
So the lighting has been adjusting a bit. So because I light based off of the natural light, the LED lights are what's keeping me lit well. So even if the background changes a little bit, at least like the whole scene doesn't go dark.
Right. Gotcha.
So yeah, three lights. And I don't even always use them. If it's steady light outside, then I'll just use natural light and expose it that way.
So the key light and the softbox is on your face, and then the two LED lights pointing in the ceiling towards behind you or towards... This
kind of in front of me, yeah. So they're both pointed forward, and the ceiling is kind of a weird vaulted ceiling.
Yeah,
but the ceiling is white, so they're kind of at an angle, pointing up at the white ceiling, and then just kind of I have them turned all the way up. They actually don't get that bright, but they're just kind of filling the room in a little bit. You can actually, if you want to nitpick, if you look at the photos behind me, you can see the softbox reflection.
Yep,
right here, you can kind of see some of it.
So how is the background lit from the two LED lights?
Just some of the LED lights and natural light.
Got it.
So and like if I did this at night, what would change is so this lamp behind me at night, I turn this on to fill in the back a little bit. And then I still use the two LED lights and the softbox. So the softbox is lighting me mainly. And then the LED lights is helping fill up the rest of the room. And then I expose in a way where I'm lowering my shutter. So I'm just kind of like pulling up the exposure in the camera, not lighting it just by the light. So I'll come up on my ISO a little bit and I'll pull my shutter way down so that the ambiance of the room gets picked up and it's lit well. And then I'm lit from the softbox.
Got it. And then that window to your left, when you, if you do this at night, obviously that'll be dark. Is that right?
Yep.
Okay.
You'll just kind of see, it'll just be a dark window.
Is that the actual sun beating on that window there on your left? Mm-hmm.
But yet again, it's overexposed like that because my shutter is super low.
Right.
So it's actually, it's fairly bright in here, but it's not that bright. So I'm basically just using what my camera can handle to light. And that's a big thing. A lot of people go into YouTube and they think I got to get all these LED lights and things. But if you understand exposure enough, you can do things like that. Like, oh, if I raise my ISO a little bit and drop my shutter, which on a tripod, unlike photography, videography, shutter speed is much more forgiving. You know, I think my shutter right now is down at like 96 and I could go to 60 because it's on a tripod. It's fine. And it actually, it looks better because you get this nice motion. It looks more cinematic. So yeah, I can go way down to 1/60 at shutter speed and that's okay, which gives me more light from my natural light.
Holy cow, that's just way over my head now. That's advanced stuff. That's awesome. But for somebody who is new out there, you literally just start. Just document, start. That's the most important thing, right? Wouldn't you agree?
Exactly. That's, I would say nothing serious. Don't let it overwhelm you. Don't think it needs to be perfect. Because there's people out here getting lots of views, making lots of money, just using their iPhone, editing it on their iPhone. Yet again, if you have the audio sounding great and you have a cool story or whatever you're sharing is something that people want to see, that's all it takes. The quality and stuff, that comes later. You don't have to do all that.
Just focus on creating right now. Creating.
Exactly.
And then as you go, improvise.
Exactly. And you'll learn more as you go and you'll get better at it as you go. And that happens with everything we do in life. And that's how it's been for me. I had kind of video chops, but now, you know, I don't color grade my videos, but I'm learning about color grading and I'm learning more about how video works. And I bought a gimbal for myself and I bought a drone and I'm like messing around with that stuff. And, you know, like, but that's literally after like 2 years of really being into video for a while, which is new to me. I'm only a photographer.
And that's 2 years of providing content already using what you already have. You're just fine tuning consistently. Just
exactly.
But for somebody who's starting out, just put some content out about what you're passionate about. So that's a nice segue to our my next question was, how do you come up with the title and the description and the thumbnail link? Because I read somewhere that's huge too. That's one way to for them to click on your video, the thumbnail, the title.
Yep, that stuff is the most important. And it's something that I'm even constantly working at. It's probably the hardest part of YouTube. And it's one of the parts that is almost like a mystery all the time, because you'll do something and it'll do well and you'll try and recreate it again and it won't. So there's a couple of factors. I'll break down most all that stuff and feel free to cut me off through it.
Yes.
But so the first factor is doing research. Doing research involves things like using Google Trends. If you're not familiar with that, Google Trends is a great way to look up what is trending. And you can literally search phrases or words and see if people are starting to search for that. So for instance, if I wanted to do a video on Fujifilm cameras, I would search Fujifilm and see how much people are searching for it. Another way I like to do my research is a program called vidIQ, which it does cost money, but it works within YouTube. And so when you're on YouTube and you search, it'll give you a score of how high that search is ranking. So for instance, yet again, if I want to do a video on Fujifilm cameras, I can search Fujifilm camera and it'll say out of 100, this search gets a score of 80 because a lot of people are searching for it. And it'll also show you your competition and say competition is low, like in the green, because no one else is making videos about that. And then that lets me know, cool, this is probably a great video to make because there's not a lot of competition, but there's a lot of people searching for it. So once I have all that information, I base off of what I searched for to find that information. That's where I start building what my title is going to be. Typically, and especially since I do training stuff, things that work best are going to be like how to, or how do I do X, or just plainly saying doing this. So the first video that got me into the YouTube Partner Program was editing in Lightroom on the iPad Pro 2018. And that's the title. Now, the reason that title worked also is not only was it answering a question or something someone may search about if they're interested in it, but it also caught a wave. And I'll talk about that in a moment. But I released the video during a wave. So I rode that wave, and that's how the video did well. So that's your titles. Base it off of information that you search for and try and make it applicable to what someone would be searching for. Obviously, I can make a video and title it like, yay, iPads are amazing, but no one's going to be searching iPads are amazing. I mean, someone is, but not the masses, where if you go, the reason iPads are amazing, or five reasons the iPad is amazing, or did you know the iPad's amazing at doing something? Those are a little bit more targeted. So that if someone's searching iPad and like, wow, five reasons the iPad's amazing, I really want one, I'm curious. So that's titles. Thumbnails are a whole nother subject, and that's hard. but thumbnails, I would say, people's faces work a lot in thumbnails. That's why you see a lot of thumbnails with people's faces. Anything that will catch attention, so colors that pop, or anything outrageous happening on the cover of the video, or just anything that focuses very much on what's happening in the video or the subject of the video. So for example, actually, I'm thinking about changing one of my thumbnails, which you can do after you've already released the video. But the video I made for this little portable monitor I have, I don't think the thumbnail is doing well. And I don't think it's bringing across the point that this is a 15-inch monitor that you can take with you and then connect to like a laptop or something of that sort. So what I'm thinking of changing the thumbnail to right now, it's just like a top down flat lay with the monitor with like a picture on it. What I might do is I actually have a picture of like a bag or something, like a close up of me holding a bag and taking the monitor out, and maybe have the screen on too, which I don't, it's kind of hard to pull off, but either way, just having the monitor and me pulling it out of a bag, and the bag maybe having some other stuff in it so you can see some of the stuff in the bag. Something like that may bring home the point more, because now it's like someone searching for, oh, I wonder if there's a portable monitor, and they see a picture of a bag and the monitor coming out of it. Oh, cool. That's exactly what I was searching for. So thumbnails.
Your thumbnails are, they look amazing, man.
Thank you.
I mean, how long do you spend time on this thumbnail? Because some of these are graphic design stuff that you pretty much did.
Yeah, thumbnails, as far as doing your YouTube videos, as far as what takes time, shooting the video is probably the easiest part.
Right.
Editing comes next as something that takes more time. And then the thumbnail and description and the title probably take, honestly, just as long as editing.
Yeah, I could imagine. Like this one, three reasons not to upgrade to the Fujifilm X-T4. Like you're holding the camera, but you're not really holding the camera. It looks like a graphic that you put there. Like I don't even know that background, because it's similar to the other thumbnail, which is pretty amazing. It looks like you spent a lot of time. Segue to a different topic, kind of similar to that. How long are your are good videos? I'm looking at yours, like 5 minutes, there's 2 minutes, 4 minutes. What's the ideal length?
That's also another fun subject when it comes to YouTube. So there's two mindsets to it. So the first one, especially if you're doing any kind of education, is that you want to get the point across, you want to answer the question, you want to get the information out. So in that mindset, short videos make more sense. But when it comes to the YouTube Partner Program and ads, if your video is longer than 10 minutes or it's 10 minutes or longer, you can put multiple ads on your video. So you can put ads in the middle of the video. And by doing that, you can maximize your ads, which maximizes how much money you make. So then the question is, do I make longer videos? So I personally like to have quality over quantity. And because of that, I don't subscribe to trying to make my videos longer just because. But if the information calls for it, then I will make it longer. But I've personally always been a fan of shorter videos. Oh yeah, because the third thing about it as well is YouTube likes videos that keeps people on the platform. Because yet again, as a business, that's what they want. They want people on YouTube watching videos all the time. And if you have videos that people are keeping a retention rate of above 50%, if you have people who are on a video watching it for like 10, 15 minutes, that's the kind of stuff YouTube likes, and they're going to shoot it out more. So short videos are kind of weird because technically they're not keeping people on the platform for long. But that's where, yet again, you have to go back to the root of YouTube, which is just people making videos for people. And if your subscriber base really appreciates your short videos, then you probably should keep doing those and not just be like, well, I need to make more money, so I'm going to make all my videos 10 minutes long, even though I'm just rambling and it's filled with a bunch of B-roll and like nobody doing anything.
Right. Yeah. So basically, for the people out there that want to get started, just make good content and don't worry too much about the time, right?
Exactly.
Is that what I'm hearing? Okay.
Yeah. Do what you want to do. Do it how you want to do it. And the people who love it will love it. And you can always tweak it and ask what they like and stuff. But
that's awesome. And are you worried about number of views? Like, do you let it get you down when you have one video has 200 views versus the other video has 6,000, 20,000 views? Does that ever
I really try not to. it's the hardest part of YouTube, and you'll hear it from other YouTubers too, is like, don't focus on the analytics too much. They're great to be there to help you kind of guide what you want to fix and change and, you know, make little tweaks to your video, but also don't let it hang you up too much. Obviously it's a great way to judge like how well something's doing, but I really try my best not to do too much. And also, it's get to a point where I start understanding, I know which videos will do better or not. And then I can gauge from there. Like, I did a video recently where I show off all my film cameras, and I already knew that one wasn't going to do great. And I think it's barely at 1,000 views at the moment, and that's fine.
Do you delete those videos that you put up and they don't have views, or the views that you wanted?
No, I'll just keep them up there, and they're kind of good filler content. Because another thing too about YouTube, get again with YouTube wanting people to stay on the platform, even if I have videos that don't do well, there's reasons that can make me more money, which we can talk about later if you want to. And it's just more content for people to consume if they enjoy me and how I explain stuff. So if I have all these videos out and they find me, you know, wow, this guy's great. And then they see some other videos, oh, cool. And they start scrolling through my videos, you know, so I definitely don't delete them unless for some reason they were like a video that just was outside of what I would consider my normal content, which normally I don't even post that.
Yeah. What is the range of when you created videos? What's the range time? Like how long did it take you? I mean, other videos that it took you 10 minutes and other videos that took you 10 hours to create and post?
Are we talking from like the start of recording and then editing and everything?
All of it. Yeah.
Yeah. There's definitely a disparity between some of the videos and how. So some videos I have, like the Three Reasons To and the Three Reasons Not To by the XT4. Those are what I consider easy videos. They're talking head videos where there's B-roll. So that's literally me in front of the camera talking about what I'm talking about, and maybe some B-roll. Those are easy. Those are done in maybe like 2 to 3 hours. And that's from start to finish. So recording, editing, thumbnails and everything, and uploading and description. Because description is a whole other part that takes forever too. But right. So 2 to 3 hours. And then you take another video like my full wedding day behind the scenes, which those videos are like an hour long. Those things literally take like a week or two, and I'm not even sure how many hours. I never clocked it, but
wow.
Those are half and half because I'm able to bundle that in. And I was talking about that earlier. I bundle it in with the work I already have to do as a wedding photographer. So all I'm really doing is doubling up on my own content. So it's like, I book a wedding, I have to go to the wedding and take those photos anyway. So I just film the wedding. And then I have to edit the photos because that's my job as a wedding photographer. And then I take those photos and then I take that footage and I make a video out of it. So it's like, instead of me having to create something totally from scratch, I take work I already have to do and then bundle that into its own content. But those videos, literally, it's probably at least 40 hours.
Wow. Those are the BTS of you shooting and things, and then putting in the audio, the voiceover, things like that?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, those take forever. But yet again, those are videos that I know are going to live for a long time. They're going to do well for a long time. And they bring up my watch hours a lot because, you know, you take an hour-long video and let's say people are watching 25% of it. That's really high watch hours, like very quickly. So,
right. I have a couple questions on the making money part. Like as far as the starters, let's say you meet 1,000 subscribers. I think my YouTube channel is almost there. Mm-hmm. And then you get that 4,000 watch hours. Does money just start rolling in? Because I think I remember 3-4 years ago, I started setting this whole thing up, my channel up. And I think I set up my bank or something like that. Do they just direct deposit, send you a check? How does that work? Do they place the ad or you place the ad? How does that, what is that process?
Yeah. So basically, so you get into the YouTube partner program and you can start having ads. Yet again, if your video is less than 10 minutes, there's just an ad either at the beginning or the end, and that's it. So you don't have to place that. If your video is longer than 10 minutes, you can manually place the ads if you want to, or you can just let them place more ads within your video. That's up to you. So for example, my longer full wedding day videos, I actually make places within the video where ads can be inserted. So there's almost like little breaks within the video. I do that on purpose, but that's because the video is literally like an hour. So I may as well put them in there. I don't do it for anything that maybe is, let's say, like 12 or 13 minutes. Once you set up all of your stuff, it is direct deposit, and you can actually track all that stuff within the YouTube algorithm and the YouTube analytics and stuff. So you'll be able to see how much your videos are making, and then you'll get that money. Money does roll in, but it's also not like massive amounts of money. And that starts going into how much you get paid, because aside from popular belief, you see a video that gets like millions of views and you assume like they made a lot of money, but actually the views aren't what decide how much money is made. It's something called CPM. CPM is cost per milli. So how many dollars you get for every 1,000 views. And the CPM is what decides on how much a video makes. So literally a video can make or have like 70,000 views and make more money than a video that has 1 million views.
Wow. Okay. So if you have, is there a number that we can give our audience? Let's say you have 1,500 subscribers and then they get, you know, 1,000 views on a video, how much would they get? Or can you give me a better, I guess, metric there? Like how, I want to give them an idea, how much will they get?
Yeah. The best way to actually answer that question and explain it is to talk more about how CPM works. So basically YouTube, and now let's get into all the business of it. So YouTube as a business wants people to watch videos. Advertisers obviously go, hey, I have things to advertise. I want people to see it. YouTube goes, great, I can advertise that for you. How much are you going to pay me to advertise your thing? And that's where CPM comes from. So some videos and their subjects have higher CPMs because of that subject. So for example, one place that we know gets fairly high CPMs is financial videos. So anyone talking about how to manage your bank or your money or pay off your debt and things like that, because banks are the ones advertising and banks have lots of money. So they're paying lots of money to advertise, which makes the CPMs high. So for instance, if I do a financial video and the CPM is, let's say, $35, that means every 1,000 views I get, I will get $35. Now, every view on your video technically is not an actual advertised view. And that's something I'm still trying to understand myself. But just because someone watched your video doesn't mean that it's an actual advertised view on it. Not every video has an ad on it, basically. Okay. So depending on your subject base and the CPM on the video, that's going to determine how much you can make. I would say as a normal average for most videos, I see CPMs around like $10.
Okay.
So for every 1,000 views, like $10-ish or so. But it really does depend on the subject matter.
Got it. So what I'm hearing here is at the end of the day, don't focus on money right now. Right? I mean, focus on creating content that people are going to watch, create that thumbnail that's beautiful, beautiful lighting, beautiful audio, and then fingers crossed the money will come later as you build your audience, as you build your views and subscribers, right?
Exactly. And you can think of each video you make almost as like a little seed. So even if you do have videos that, let's say, aren't making lots of money, the reason you have larger YouTubers making lots of money is they have lots of videos. And even the old videos are still getting views. And even if a video is bringing you, you know, like $10 a day and you have 1,000 videos and, you know, like 500 of those videos are bringing in like $5, $10 a day, you know, it starts adding up after a while. So yeah, the money is something definitely I would say not to focus on. Just go ahead and make your videos. But it is nice when you start seeing some of it roll in. You're like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
You know, got a check for $30. How nice.
That just hit me. Like, if you are somebody who is consistently, like you, putting out good content and you're getting $10 a day and you have 5 or 10 of those videos, that's $100 a day.
Yeah, exactly.
And then that video lives there. So you just, that's like in perpetuity, you're getting that money.
Exactly. So
like these big YouTubers like Casey Neistat and Peter McKinnon, that's like just almost residual income, right?
Exactly. And that's basically how it works. And then especially if you, some of the fun videos, I can't remember the guy, there's a financial YouTuber who shared his full, like a full month or so of how he gets his income and all the different parts of the income and the YouTube advertising and all that stuff. And I mean, yeah, he was making like $30,000 in a month or something. And yet again, that's just those videos that are in the back.
Yeah.
And just kind of making money because people are still viewing it. And that's why if you make content that also is kind of timeless and answers questions,
yes,
or something that someone's interested in, they'll always, and sometimes they hit the algorithm again. And even CPM changes because it's based on advertising. So we start getting to the end of the year, the holidays start coming around, advertisers are advertising more, CPMs go up. So it's a very like wavy kind of back and forth type of thing. The middle of the year is kind of not as much as the summertime. Everyone's out having parties, unless maybe you have a travel blog. Maybe those go up because now everyone's trying to travel. So the CPMs go up.
Wow. So I'm going to complicate my question for a second. So if let's say you have a video you just made, the Fuji X-T4, and that hits you right now, you have 27,000 views. And let's say nobody watches that video in the next 6 months. And are you still going to get money from that video, or it's just based on recent views, CPMs?
Oh yeah, no, it's always continually. Anytime someone watches a video and there's an ad on it, that counts as an ad view. Got it. And then whatever the CPM is based on that at the time, because the CPM changes, but I'm still making money on it. And yet again, it's only per 1,000 views. So once I hit 1,000 views, or it's not per 1,000 view. That's just how you measure it. So if I only got 50 views and the CPM is $10, and I'm not that great at math, but you get what I'm saying. It's like, then you only made a couple of dollars.
Right. But if nobody has watched it the last 4 months, you're not getting obviously anything. It's not like mailbox money. Well, you get $10 a month for that video.
Exactly. Yeah. People still have to watch it. But that's like,
it's not like you have a royalty that's always going to be, okay, got it.
Exactly. That's a funny part about YouTube and CPMs though, because to take myself as an example, so I make a lot of videos about HoneyBook because I absolutely love HoneyBook. I use it all the time. I really do believe in it. So I'm not, you know, I'm not making videos just because, But because there's not a lot of people making HoneyBook videos, the CPMs are actually ridiculously high. So some of my YouTube videos on HoneyBook are actually making a lot of money, but nobody is watching them at all. And that goes back to you saying, do I worry about views? And it's like, not really. Because in that case, I know no one's going to watch my HoneyBook videos. I know that. Like, the people who maybe are interested in HoneyBook and searching for it, they'll find it. And I'm going to be one of, like, barely anybody else talking about HoneyBook. So they'll find it. But yeah, the views are super low. But they're some of my most earning videos.
Yeah.
So YouTube is interesting in that sense.
That is so interesting that you said that. Are you on the payroll for HoneyBook, or you just love making this video?
I love them so much. I tried to get hired. I interviewed with them like 2 or 3 times.
Really? But HoneyBook's not sponsoring you. They're not paying you. You're just doing this because it's part of your channel and your vision for your channel, right?
Yeah. Well, I do. I am a part of like their affiliate program now. Got but it. When I first started it, yeah, it was just me. I just absolutely loved it. And that's yet again going back to making money and, like, you know, do what you love and you believe in. And then maybe the companies that you do love will go, oh, this person's really good at what they do and we like the content they make. So they'll come to you and say, hey, if people sign up for our service through you, you get a kickback. And you go, oh, great. But I'm a huge fan of not selling out and just being true to yourself. And that's probably one of the harder parts of YouTube. Is because once, like, especially where I'm at now, once you hit that, like, past 10K subs up towards, like, 30K, all kinds of companies all the time are just like, hey, review this. Hey, check this out. Hey, we'll give this to you for free. Hey, we'll pay you to do this. And I really have to check myself and say, you know what? That doesn't go with what I'm trying to voice on my channel. So I'm sorry. I'm not going to review this thing.
Yeah. Well, that's a very good point. Quick question, a quick point about the HoneyBook. For the people out there that are listening, HoneyBook is a platform where it is a customer service platform, customer service management platform. And there's several of them out there. HoneyBook's probably one of the biggest named one. And John is a big part of that. It's a big user of that company. That's why you're creating a lot of videos for it, right?
Yeah.
Got it. Dang, that's awesome, man. I've got a couple more questions left. Is there any YouTube video outside of, obviously, watch your YouTube video, and you said you're going to create some videos behind the scenes, how to set up your lighting and all that stuff, and we're so looking forward to that, because I think that's going to be awesome to give some information out there. But do you any suggestions, like what YouTube videos to watch, or books or tips where people can get some more information about how to start their own channel?
Mm-hmm. I know, so a couple of people who come to mind straight off the bat is Roberto Blake. He's a bigger kind of YouTuber, and he just talks about being an influencer and making YouTube videos. That's all he talks about on his video. So he's a great place to kind of understand more about YouTube and understand stuff like CPM and how to make content. That's all he makes videos on. There's also Think Media. They also make videos on that type of stuff. And a lot of them, obviously, they have their own classes and stuff they sell. So the videos on their channel are like scraping the surface of stuff. And then if you want to go deeper into it, you can purchase one of their like classes. I never have, but I found a lot of their information to be helpful. And also, if you ever just search on YouTube for like either how to start or anything you want to know about how to start, how to make money, how much money I made on YouTube, stuff like that. A lot of the big YouTubers will be there. So those are the two suggestions I would have to start out.
Perfect.
As far as getting more information on starting out with YouTube.
Is there a line or a fine line between selling courses, selling information versus creating free content? Can you give me a little bit of your wisdom on that subject? I mean, you see out there, there's people selling courses and stuff like that, and there's so much content on YouTube that's free.
Yeah, it's definitely, I think it really comes down to the heart and kind of love you have for teaching. I feel like there's a lot of people who aren't what I would consider teachers. They're just out there trying to make money. And then there's people who are truly teachers. And you'll find that the truly teacher people, while they are probably going to sell content, they give you a lot up front because they're not really worried. They know that at in the end of the day, they're probably going to make the income that they need and want to. But as a teacher, someone who teaches, that's what you love to do. That's what you want to do. You want to share information. You want to teach others. Whereas someone who's more entrepreneurial mindset, what they love to do is make money. So they're going to be like, hi, I'll teach you how to do this thing, but you first have to pay me. Right. So it's very thin line, because it's the same thing with me. Like, I'm thinking about making a course, a very, very in-depth course of a full wedding day of each section of the day and how you would go about photographing that. But then you go to my channel and I have an hour-long video of behind the scenes wedding day. So it's like, why would I buy your course if you have an hour long? But for me, yet again, I'm a teacher. So I'm going to, if you like this content, it's not as detailed, but here's something to get you started. And if you really, really enjoy my approach, here's a course I created for you that's going to be way more in-depth, almost like sitting down with me. And that's how I like to do it. I don't like to have a hard line where it's like, I'm not going to tell you anything at all.
Right.
And that's kind of how I like to approach it. You'll make your money. Like, people will purchase your stuff, especially if they can see that you're very truthful about what you're doing. It's, I know Gary Vee talks a lot about it, like empathy. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing. Like, I'm creating this content because I want you to do better. I want to help you do better. I truly want that. And then this stuff is just a little bit more in depth, so I'm going to sell it, but I still, you can see that I truly want to help you. So, and it feels less sleazy, because I've seen a lot of people who are, you know, you're just like,
Well, thank you, man. That's some awesome insight there. And what's next for you and your channel?
What's next?
What do you got working on right now? What's cooking?
So I'm really going to start focusing on some iPad stuff, okay. Mainly using the iPad as a full computer for editing full sessions. That's something I've been truly passionate about, because, you know, a lot of people use laptops, but I've, for a while now, only been using my desktop when I'm at home and my laptop while I travel. And it's been really awesome, and they're small and they're fairly cheap and you can do real editing on it. So yeah. And it's, while that's always not to talk your ear off too long about it, but I kind of have like lanes of some of the content I create. So that's one of the lanes. And so another reason I'm focusing on that now, speaking of riding waves, is because they upgraded the iPads recently. So now that is generating more people searching for iPads. So now this is a perfect time to start focusing more on the iPads again and talk about that stuff. So I'll drop a couple videos of that, and then I probably won't talk about the iPad as much. But then I also have that stuff to reference on.
That's awesome. What my last question is, what is like really your main advice or one big thing that you want to tell people out there about starting their own channel?
Always have a hard time doing just one. I mean, really love what you do. Don't be concerned about how well it looks. Don't be concerned if someone has more views or more subscribers than you. Do what you want to do. And know that you are enough, that your subject, that your voice is enough, that people want to hear you speak. They really do. Especially if it's on a subject and a niche that not many people talk about. There's always someone looking for that niche. That would be my biggest thing. Just make the content, make it sound good, and be passionate about what you're doing and really wanting to give that to whoever your audience is.
One last thing I want to do, John, I want to get you to talk about where people can find you, website, Instagram, YouTube channel, and go.
Yes. So on the internet, everywhere, I am JBIV Photography. So jbivphotography.com on Instagram, JBIV Photography on YouTube, JBIV Photography. And I also answer questions on Instagram, but I am a little slow. So feel free to DM me and just wait, and I'll get back to you.
Awesome. Thanks, John. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon.
Awesome. Same to you.